Welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. The Venezuelan refugee crisis is overwhelming South American countries like Brazil and especially Colombia. That was evident last Friday when the UN had to suspend a new food stamps program for Venezuelans in the Colombian border city of Cúcuta because the crowds were simply too large and chaotic. WLRN's Tim Padgett just returned from Cúcuta, where he witnessed this growing humanitarian crisis. Tim, first of all, welcome back.
Thank you, Luis.
Remind us of the numbers and the magnitude of this crisis that you saw up close.
Well, as I saw myself, you've got about 20,000 to 30,000 people escaping Venezuela, coming over the border into the border Colombian city of Cúcuta every day. And up to a quarter of those people actually stay there to try to start a new life because things are so horrifically bad back in Venezuela in terms of an economic collapse that has created an humanitarian crisis where people have little if any food, little if any medicine, and other basic goods. So you have got this overwhelming wave of humanity pouring over the border into Colombia every day, and it is overwhelming that country, as it is overwhelming some other countries, like Brazil, as you mentioned.
Now, you posted a photo on social media over the weekend of a Venezuelan refugee mother and her infant son in complete despair as they waited in line, these long, very hot lines for the food stamps. And you said that it summed up your reporting trip there.
Right. That image I took outside of one of the evangelical churches near the airport in Cúcuta, which is one of the sites being used by the UN World Food Program to distribute these, as they're called, bonos, or essentially food stamps that these Venezuelan refugees can use to get food at area supermarkets and things of that nature. And this mother, her name was Jamira, was just sitting out there under this hot, baking noontime sun in Cúcuta, Colombia. We're talking about, you know, southeast Colombia, and her little one-year-old infant son, and they were just sitting there in this impossibly long line with hundreds, if not thousands, of other Venezuelan refugees, and she just seemed to be collapsing there. And it just seemed, as you said, to sum up both the destitution I was seeing that characterizes these Venezuelan refugees coming over, but also the sense of hopelessness. You're talking about one of the worst economic collapses in South American history, but also one of the worst refugee crises in Venezuelan history. And the ones that are coming now are in really some of the worst straits, as you can hear from this assessment in an interview that I had with a man named Ricardo Supo, who is with the World Food Program there in Cúcuta.
Now what we see is that the most recent people that are coming, they are the worst situations. And you go walking around and you're going to see children with skin disease, with blonde hair that are becoming like losing colors and losing hair. And, I mean, these are the first signs of malnutrition. And you see more and more. Now it's really like the escape of the desperate.
Right, escape of the desperate. I think that sums it up. And I can vouch for what he was saying about seeing young children, Latino children who would normally have, black hair but would be brunettes. You're seeing it turn lighter, and that is one of the first signs of malnutrition.
We talked last week, and you had said that the UN had trouble not just confronting the crisis, but deciding what to call it. So if what you saw isn't a refugee crisis, then what are they saying? What is it?
They're still trying to decide. UN officials confided to us last week that they really have no historical reference point for this. It's not quite at the level where they can officially call it a refugee crisis. It's not like the Syrian crisis where you've got refugees pouring out because their lives are in danger because of war and bombardment. But by the same token, it's far more severe than just your normal economic migrant situation, people fleeing an economic emergency. They really don't know yet what to call it. They've been struggling for months to figure out what it is, but as in my book, from what I saw last week, it is a refugee crisis.
And it's the UN again calling on the international community to raise about $50 million for Venezuelan refugees, but it's only gotten about a third of that. Now the UN has told WLRN that it's turning to some creative fundraising. What does that mean?
Well, they're turning more to the private sector, private citizens around the world. I think they're going to start tapping into the internet, and they're going to set up websites where private donors like you and me and private companies can start contributing, can start raising funds for these Venezuelan refugees to help fill that aid shortfall gap that we're seeing. That food stamp program was one of the first that they've been able to set up for Venezuelan refugees with what resources they've been able to raise so far. But now we can all go online, apparently, this summer and start contributing ourselves.
All right. So given there seems to be an aid shortfall, how important a role is the Venezuelan expat community here in South Florida in helping out?
It's going to play a very important role because, as I said, there is an aid shortfall gap that has to be filled. And in terms of things like food, but especially medicine, we're seeing the Venezuelan expat community here mobilize to start pivoting and sending its aid, you know, food packages, medicine packages, money, things of that nature, clothes, not into Venezuela, where really it's at risk of being confiscated by corrupt customs officials and things like that, and sending it directly to Cucuta now, where so many Venezuelan, for example, patients with bad illnesses are going because they feel that that's the only place where they can find the medication now.
And you met some Venezuelans in Cucuta who are already, they're benefiting from the diaspora
right.
here.
I met a kidney transplant patient, for example. His name was Jesus Mendoza, and he cannot find the anti-rejection medication that all transplant patients need to survive these transplant surgeries. He can't find it in Venezuela, and when he does get into Colombia, sometimes it can be too expensive for the meager earnings that Venezuelans make. Anything you make in Venezuela is automatically wiped out because of hyperinflation. So when I told him that an expat group here in Venezuela, which is called Cuatro por Venezuela, is now sending medications that include anti-rejection meds for transplant victims as donations into Cucuta, he started crying.
This crisis is causing a lot of tension, as you told me, between the Venezuelan refugees and Colombians. You said you saw a lot of that last week, but you also saw a lot of inspiring stories, too.
There is a lot of tension. Part of the reason that food stamp program was shut down last week because poor Colombians themselves are getting angry at seeing all these Venezuelan refugees get social benefits when they come in that they feel they deserve to have, not just the Venezuelans. And so you're seeing a lot of resentment, a lot of anti-immigration resentment building in Colombia, which could help the conservative candidate in this month's presidential election get elected, by the way. But as you said, I did see inspiring stories. I spent an evening with a woman who about 15 years ago was forced to leave Colombia by the Civil War, which was still raging there. She and her husband and kids, they owned a small dairy farm there near the border, and both the guerrillas and the right-wing paramilitaries wanted to essentially steal it from them, but worse than that, wanted to recruit her 13-year-old son to become a guerrilla or a paramilitary himself. They were about to abduct him. So they fled Colombia at that time and went into Venezuela to become essentially refugees, and they were welcomed, they were treated very well. And then Venezuela's economy situation went south. She and the family came back to Cucuta, Colombia, and now she runs a shelter there for Venezuelan refugees, as if, she said, to say thank you to Venezuela for the treatment she received when she herself was a refugee.
You've got next week you plan to start a three-part series, a WLRN series on this crisis called Escape from Venezuela. What most do you want people here and in the U.S. to know about the situation there?
I want our audience to know that particularly in South Florida, this is a refugee situation that we especially, because we have the largest Venezuelan expat community here in the United States, we have the largest Colombian expat community here in the United States, South Florida, more than any other place in America, has a connection to this humanitarian crisis. And I really think we need to start taking more notice of it, start contributing to alleviating it in any way we can. But I really think we need to start approaching this as our Syrian refugee crisis, as it were.
WLRN's America's correspondent Tim Padgett just back from his trip to Colombia and following this refugee crisis from Venezuela. And you know what? We'll be tracking that series as well. Again, that series coming to WLRN called Escape from Venezuela. Tim, thanks so much, man.
Thank you, Lewis.
All right, still to come, a closer look at a school in Miami that just closed. They operated for 4 years without a license, and there could be a link to a strange cult. All of that coming up next on Sundial here on WLRN.